Hey, Jam Fam. A common theme that I love discussing on the show is dance education and how we can help each other become better teachers for our students. It's not only a passion of mine, but it's how Joe and I met back in 2018 when I was brought on board Thrive Dance Experience as a founding faculty member. In addition to their one-day dance conventions in the fall, they are now booking in-studio workshops for studios to bring the Thrive Experience in-house. Studios who mentioned they heard this ad when booking receive an additional 5% off discount. Start planning your workshop now with some of the best educators in the dance industry by emailing Joe directly, joe@thrivedanceexperience.com. That's joe@thrivedanceexperience.com. Okay, it's time to jam. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Michelle.
How
I like
are
that
you?
We're peppy.
Not usually.
We're pulling off peppy, y'all.
Oh, it's just so great to do what we do.
To do what we do. The things we do.
And all the things that we do. And I am super excited for our Jam Fam to listen to our talk today with a return guest.
Yeah. Alicia Pochask in the house, y'all. She was back on. We should probably have it in front of us, but go back to former seasons. I think she's an old school. She's like a season one or two. She's an old.
Well, I'm old school.
Alicia, who I love and adore so much. Our last episode, we talked about her career, which is so insightful and exciting. And this time we've been doing more hot topics, and she's so knowledgeable from being a, you know, professional dancer, dance educator, choreographer, an adjudicator, has her own company. So has just a lot of insight, running auditions right now for Norwegian Creative Studios. So it's just like lots of insight on what's happening. And that's what I love, what a guest brings, especially for a Hot Topics episode. So we talked about the good, bad, and ugly from COVID. We talked about...
But I do want to stop you, Joe, because it's been so easy to talk the negative. We were able to talk about the positive on this side of it, which was great.
Yeah, go us. We're just so happy. So, I mean, I am really happy. And I think we covered about what she sees in the audition room, like what's kind of missing at times, what she wishes she could see a little bit more. So there's lots of tips, lots of gems, lots of nuggets from this episode.
Was there a harmonica?
I think
no.
At the very end.
Nope. Jam
I don't
fam,
remember. Sorry, we're recording this intro a few days later.
Different harmonica player in this episode.
Well, you'll have to wait and see, listener.
Yeah, and it was fantastico. But the conversation was even better. So, Jam Fam, we are so excited for you to hear our episode with
Alicia Pochask.
You are now tuned in to
giggling.
We have a lot of guests today. This is gonna go so well.
Jam Fam, welcome back. We have an interesting setup today for our episode. We do have an amazing guest, which we've had on before, but Joe also has Skylar, who is playing harmonica. So if you hear it come in at different times than usual, it's just because the 3.5-year-old
we're building playing. A band, you know, and it maybe that was the goal the whole time, was just to build a band.
I love that. But today's episode is a Hot Topic episode with...
Yeah, the wonderful Alicia Pochask. What's up, Alicia?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back. I know you're so busy with all the things you're doing. We're going to talk about that a little bit at the end. But I'm going to dive into our first Hot Topic.
Yes.
So... And we're going to paraphrase this. And listeners, just go along with this. Alicia, here's my question. Are we teaching dance or circus now? We have shifted to a more athletic style and doesn't seem to be reflecting any artistry anymore. What are your thoughts on that?
I am going to agree with you. I don't think that it's everybody by any means. I still think that there's some amazing stuff in dance studios specifically that's being created, and it's phenomenal. But I do notice, you know, even judging dance competitions, it's a lot about like the tricks. And I've had parents come up to me and families of studios that I choreograph for when I'm just at a competition, just watching, being there, supporting the kids, saying, you know, our kids don't do all these tricks. Is that gonna hurt them? Should they be learning more of these tricks? And my answer is, first of all, your child actually does know how to do all of this. They're taking acro and gymnastics by acrobatic arts certified instructors. Like, they're learning those things, but they don't need to be in the dance unless it feels necessary or it's going to elevate the dance. It doesn't really need to be in there. I do think that there is a place for acro gym, like the category. And I grew up doing a lot of that, and true acro gym. And that's completely different than doing a lyrical number and then throwing in, you know, a layout step out just because we can do it. I think it's really great to be able to learn these skills and these tricks, but it sometimes overtakes the piece, and then we're missing the art of dance. We're missing the dancing. Where's the dancing at? And I think that, you know, I say, people always say, well, we're watching, you know, these big shows, like So You Think You Can Dance or these other things. And I also want to say, but there's so much artistry also in that. I'm watching these people and these choreographers coming in, and yes, there might be some trick in there, but there's so much artistry behind it. And maybe the trick is happening because within the storytelling. And I think that that's the biggest thing, is we're missing storytelling. We're missing style. We're missing the dancing of it. And we're so focused on doing all of these tricks. And sometimes I'm like, you're never going to have to do that if you want to do this professionally, like ever. I mean,
you bring up a really good point with, sorry, Lisa, like with the So You Think You Can Dance, I think you bring up a good point, but they're at like such a high level of talent on that showcase. So the tricks are a part of the artistry because they've achieved that level and training of how to properly do it. And that high level should be inspiring of like, look what you can do if you put in the work. You know, it's like, yes, they can do that because they're still incorporating the artistry side of it. It's not just a circus show.
100%. It's part of the storytelling. You know, when I'm watching two people partner and there's a moment of we need to disconnect and get away within the partnering, and someone's going to throw in, you know, a 540 or throw in a beautiful side aerial. It makes sense because it's part of what we're trying to tell within the story. It's not, I can just do a side aerial, so I'm going to run and do it in the middle of my piece and it doesn't have any correlation to the story or the artistry of what I'm doing. So I think that I would love and continue to encourage artists and choreographers who are teaching younger performers to find a way, challenge yourself to find a way to put some of those things in where we're not losing the artistry and we're not losing why we dance in the first place. You know, we're not losing all of the storytelling of the art of dance in general.
My bigger fear, I see a lot of tricks as I'm on the judging circuit as well. My big fear is the little ones that are 5, 6, and 7 that are, you know, stretching their leg over their head or pulling it up behind their head straight up. And it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I've never been able to do that, but their bodies aren't ready for it. And seeing some of these tricks that they're learning already, will they be able to sustain a dance career?
Yeah.
And I mean, until the age of 12, I don't even mean a professional career.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I just feel like you said, like the training of it is so key, because even if it's like, at least you said, like, it doesn't have to be in the dance, guys, but the training of that and of the gymnastics skill set or the trick skill set that have an acro, you know, feel to it is going to strengthen you as just an overall well-rounded dancer. And it increases your tool belt. So if you do go into that part of the industry that requires those things, you have it. It doesn't mean it needs to be in all your dances, and it doesn't need to be the center point of your solo, unless, like you said, Alicia, it's in that acro, you know, like category. Great. There's a place for it. But we're seeing it just become so much and everywhere else. I mean, listen, as a professional dancer, I led until I really kept working on my craft. I led with being physically athletic as a male dancer and doing a lot of acro and tricks myself. And I needed the technique and the other things to catch up. And it finally did.
So yeah, I like that we're all for it. But I have a question for you, Michelle. Tricks aren't just tumbling tricks. There are tricks in all styles, like in tap. What are your thoughts? You know, talk to us about your input and your position in tap dancing training on just tricks or just foundations. You know, what are your thoughts?
Well, I get hired a lot to do foundational and technique work because drills are something that people don't like to do. They think the flash and the speed is going to win. And unfortunately, it does many times because tap has, we don't have as many great tap teachers out there as we used to. So showy, flashy, quick tap seems to be doing okay, but it's not doing okay. You need to be a tapper is a percussionist to me, and there's an artistry to tap. You're tapping with the music. You're part of the music. You're part of the band. It's the same as any other art form. And I think that, again, we're losing it because people think they need to do toe stands and skiddy bops and, you know, 42 count wings and a kickball change into a flat back. And why are we doing a turn that's not even a tap turn in a tap dance? I hate that. If you're going to turn in a tap dance, do a tap dance.
You're like,
dance.
I have metal on my shoe. Watch me do 19,000 pirouettes. You're like, cool. Yeah, and jump out of it. Like, correct. The whip and jump. It's like, it's fun to watch, but it's not showcasing. You're like, it's not. Okay.
It's not. Because you're turning on metal. It's easier to turn on metal. Shut up. It's not. It's the same thing. Like, give your kids artistry. Give them rhythm. Give them some musicality, overlap rhythms. It's the same thing. And it drives me nuts. But I think it's through all the genres we're seeing. You know, in ballet, I'm seeing the ballet variations at competitions. And I love seeing a ballet variation. But we're giving them the ones that are so hard. Esmeralda. That one is so hard with the tambourine. And the kick is supposed to go a little higher and a little higher and a little higher every time. But we're not even on the box of our shoe. Do what you can do first. Master what you're good at first.
Okay, just a basic thing. Alicia and Michelle, you guys judge a lot. When you see acro in the non-acro category, give me a realistic, because, you know, you're watching way more dances than I am, a realistic, percentage or something of how many of those dancers have the technique for that trick. You know what I mean? Like, the foundation's there. So it's like, that was a very clean side aerial. That was a wonderful whatever. Versus the times that you're seeing like, oh, that shouldn't have been in the dance. Not just because of the artistry, just because of the ready to do the trick, I guess, quality. What do you think, Alicia?
I'd say half. Maybe half is pretty solid. Is pretty solid in it. You know, you can tell when a dancer or even a young performer is working on a skill and but you know, we don't need to run the whole way across the stage to do a side aerial. It's like a chasse hurdle go or a hurdle side. You know what I mean? It's just, or a chenet side aerial. And it's funny. It's like little things. Like, if we're going to do a front aerial, why are your arms not sweeping down and coming back up next to your ears? It's like, and those are the things. It's like, we're just throwing. It almost makes me feel like these kids are like backyard tumblers sometimes. And they're these kids who taught themselves. And I'm not saying that they are, but you can tell the difference between a kid that is being trained and that is still working on training and someone who might just, okay, let's just try this. And they don't understand the fundamentals or the technique going into it. I mean, I would say about half. And like, even when we speak about tricks, and I just have to say this because I grew up doing acro and I love acro. I think that there's a beautiful art form to acro. A very dear friend of mine is from the Pittsburgh area. She's unreal acro dancer. I blew me away watching her perform as I grew up. But the thing about acro is I want to see acro. I want to see elbow stands, chin stands. I want to see yogi chest rolls. I want to see, you know, Tony front walkovers, rolling tinsicas. Like, let me see the acro of it versus just throwing these big tricks around. There's so much to acro. I think I saw a Pike Arabian happen the other day and I was like, I like lost my mind. I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is beautiful. I was like, thank you.
Yeah, we grew up doing like tuck straddle Pike Arabians down the mat. I mean, that was like, it's such a strength, control, flexibility. It's giving you everything, lines.
When you talk about the strength, like I mean, I felt so strong as a performer because I had to have so much upper body strength and we trained to have strength to be able to do those things. But I think that, I don't see that. I see it a lot, to be very honest, in like the Northeast. There's a lot still of like some really good studios that, and I know it when I go and judge and I'm like, yes. And I'm like, we're going to see good, some really good acro that's like solid acro. But there's a dip. In my opinion, I think from what I see, half is probably where we're at for sure.
Chicken wing aerial.
Yes.
Chicken wing aerials. What, Joe? You know what I'm talking about. It
come with a side of ranch and blue cheese and celery.
That's yeah. not. So,
okay, sorry. Michelle, we're just joking.
Let's lead into this next question, though. By giving them all these tricks, what are we preparing our kids for? What is the goal?
I run a lot of auditions. I get to sit behind the table, which is amazing. I love it so much. I don't even know if we don't even ask performers, like, can you tumble? We don't even ask. I mean, if it's in their special skills, that's great. I think what I'm missing is, like you said, musicality, style, dancing. It really is. And it's the first thing that I say when I walk into a space now, to hold an audition. And I like to think, I love to be caring and give notes during an audition if I can, if I have the time to do it, I really love to. But the first thing I say is, you're already in this space and in this room. I expect your technique to be excellent. That's why you're here. But I need to see the style, the attack, the musicality. And I wish more people would really focus on that. And Michelle, I know with you being such a strong tapper as well, even performers that might not be the best dancers, their musicality, if they're tappers, is on point. It's the first thing I say when I walk into a room, I'm like, you're a tapper. They're like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, because your musicality is excellent. And it's, you know, and I see it a lot with theater kids who might not be amazing technicians. But there's kids that will catch my eye and I'm like, you're a tapper, aren't you? And they're like, yeah, how'd you know? I was like, because your musicality is the best one in the room right now. And I'm watching you and focusing on you versus the dancer who's rushing but can do four pirouettes. Like, you're rushing the music. So I don't know how I can put you in a cast if you're not going to mold with the cast or blend with the cast. And so I think I would love to get back to like really teaching dance. And again, it's not everywhere and everybody, but I miss the style. Like, I think I said Giordano in something and it was like crickets. And I was like, I think my heart stopped. I was like, what? I have younger performers who I mentor or younger just who want to teach, who just love teaching and they want to teach. And I'm always saying like, go do the Giordano program, like go do that program, like learn these like fundamental basics of jazz. Like progressions across the floor. I mean, I think sometimes we're so focused on the routine that we forget. I'm like, we can't just focus on the routine that we're competing or the routine. Like, we have to focus on the beginning parts of it. And I can't tell you how many times I even say, even judging or being behind a table and teaching an audition, don't forget about your technique classes. And that means jazz technique, ballet technique. Like even your modern technique, like you need to go back to the basics, but just teaching technique classes. I think sometimes some studios have gotten away from it because they're so worried about like the 45 competition dances we have to do. I'd rather see 10 really clean dances than, you know, ones that have no story or no technique or no, you know, just, I want some substance to it. And at the end of the day, when you walk into an audition or you walk for, whether it's for a university or school or program or a job, the first thing someone's going to ask you is can you do a back handspring? No one's going to ask you that. They're probably going to be like, can you show me your pirouettes on both sides.
Like Michael Taylor says, he's like, you're not a lefty or a righty. You're a bothy from now on. The rest of your life.
Yeah.
Monica moment, Joe. Pretend harmonica.
I know. Sorry. Just a quick apology. The lack of harmonicas thus far this episode is due to a 3-year-old stealing it, but she's cute, so it's fine. But continue.
Alicia, I was going to ask you, how important is improv when it comes to auditioning? Because I'm starting to have my students at the conservatory work on it in all genres.
100%.
They're not comfortable moving.
No. And
give them choreography and I'll say the first two counts, eight, tap class, jazz class, I don't know, what care what it is. That's you. Go. I don't care what you do. Go.
It's usually in the first cut combos that I do, it's usually the first two counts of eight or like the last two counts of eight. And I'm like, improv. And do you know what's funny? What we improv, what we go to? Tricks. We don't go to dancing. Yep. And you know, it's sometimes we'll ask, and don't get me wrong, there's shows, especially if we're talking about like Broadway shows, like Newsies, where yes, there is, because that's what the show calls for, but not everything is going to call for that. And so Joe, I think you were said it right. Like, it's nice to have that in your back pocket. And it's wonderful to have the strength that comes from that. But if we're going to do it, one, we just need to make sure we're really teaching it properly, again, to keep kids safe and that they're executing it. But I would just love to see more style. And, you know, I had a dancer compete. She's been with me for 4 years. And she got a judge's special award. And to me, that's like my favorite thing in the world. I could care less what she wins. I tell all my students this. I'm like, I don't care what you get, like, do the best you can. And he said, we got schooled today because this dancer came up and gave me nothing but style and dancing. He goes, I don't even think there was a double pirouette. Meanwhile, I was like, there was one double pirouette. But he was like, I hope everyone took note of it. He was like, 'cause it was the one thing that I saw, and it was dancing. It was about the dance. It was about the style, and it was about the musicality. And, you know, I was grateful that it was noticed, you know, but I'm like, it's hard because you have to be able to do different styles. I mean, you want to be an MJ on Broadway? They're doing partnering, contemporary, jazz. I mean, Christopher Wheeldon, I mean, look at his resume. I mean, it's unreal. You have to be able to do everything. And for most other shows, it's so much about the style and like the era and that stuff. And I think we're just missing the mark because some people are just so worried about like these big, huge tricks. But honestly, in my opinion, someone that's going to come on stage and show me style and show me dancing, you're going to win every time in my book personally. So I don't know about, I know other people might prefer something else, but that's,
we only want your opinion. You're the one on the podcast. Yeah,
I know.
That's why you're here.
But I know. But like even the longevity of your body. I mean, I used to tumble. I don't do that anymore. You know, like there might be a point in time if that's what you're only banking on, then what happens when you can't do it anymore? You know, so I think that those are a lot of things to think of too. What happens when you hit your maybe late 20s and you can't do those tricks anymore? Like, what do you have to fall back on? So it has to be the dancing. It has to be the style.
Well, something I think, something that you... I got all kinds of things happening at the house right now. Something you brought up I thought was really interesting with the improv, and not just, we all sometimes think like lyrical contemporary improv, like Michelle, you're like all styles, right? So all styles improv, I think the two components, not the only two, but going back to what you said a while ago, if you have good musicality, you can hear any song and know where the beat is. You can find the grooves of it. You're finding all different aspects of that song to know how to match your body to connect to that music. So that musicality is going to help you be a better improviser, dance improviser, and then just confidence, like just getting used to that. So Michelle, you've been doing it more. So it's like, I'm familiar with improv and I have good musicality. You're probably going to be pretty good at it and not need the tricks to supplement the lack of those things. And, you know, just to go out there and just groove and just showcase what you got. I mean, it's what, you know, in hip hop, it's what a cipher is, and it's celebratory. It's not show off. It's celebrating the movements and celebrating each other's parts. You're bringing you into it. And if you miss some tricks, that's okay. But I think in regards to audition work in the industry, we want to see the you, you know, so we understand how to use you in a show. I could tumble and I was good at acro. I probably did it at some auditions, but it didn't get me the job, I don't think. It was like after the fact, choreographers knew I could, and then they would add it into, like you said, Alicia, it got added in the show, but it wasn't needed to make the show. It wasn't a Cirque show, you know, but it was like, hey, you can do that. We can add that in here because it enhances, but it wasn't the reason for getting hired for sure.
I wanted to go back to the improv thing because where I work, a lot of the students that I train are actor first or singer first, dancer last. So it's got a benefit to it. They're not doing tricks when we improv because they don't know the tricks. So with tap improv, I'm like, I don't care that you don't know a step. I want to hear you make a rhythm. And so it gets them into the musicality of what tap dancing is. And I've done with the jazz, I've stolen from Joe Nickel. We tell a story. So I set up the song, I give you the choreo. Now, what's the story? So your improv, what's your character's name? What is your character wearing? Why is your character here? And it gets them a little more comfortable because they have acting over dance. They're able to do it better.
Yeah, I find too, when you ask dancers, like dancer first to improv, it's like, I'm like, did you just see a ghost? Like, I'm just asking you to dance. I'm just asking you to dance. And sometimes the improv at the beginning, if you nail that, that might be what books you the job, not even doing the combination. Like, maybe you're amazing at that, but maybe it's between two people and your improv is excellent. Then I trust that if something happens on stage or the music cuts out or something, you're going to keep going and you're smart enough as a performer to know what to do. And I always say this to dancers, I'm like, have something in your back pocket, even like anything, but find the groove and the style of it and bring that to life. But I think the word improv is really scary for performers, but especially dancers, because we're asking them to do something that's not told, you know, and bring their self out.
You just made a huge light bulb go off. Thank you for being my friend. So, okay, keep singing. It's actually more entertaining, probably. No, but I think that's great. You're right. I think as a dancer, it's scary. I've been there as well, or it can be, you know, initially if you're not confident with it. But I think, dear dancer that does go into an audition or is asked to improv, in addition to the combination, execute the combination, look at it as an opportunity, as like a second chance, like you said, Alicia. Like, hey, if you're bombing the choreo, but I see what you can do and you're showcasing who you are and it's wonderful in your improv section, I would listen, choreographers, directors of shows, we're very confident in what we do. Like, we should be. We have the job. We are like, I can work with that. It's like, I'll get you to remember the steps. You have a whole rehearsal process. It's a fast rehearsal process, but it's like, if you're showing me the style that you know you came to the audition for, you're showing me what you have and what other things you have, and then you don't do the best. So I love that. I guess what I'm getting to is the mental approach to those auditions is like, this is a second chance. This is an extra opportunity to get this job instead of I'm scared. Thank you for that.
Right.
I completely agree. And like, just one other thing of saying about just like preparing performers is performance. And that sounds really silly. But the amount of times that sometimes dancers, or especially dancers, will come up and say, you know, if they get cut from the call, is there anything I can work on? And 9 times out of 10, I'm like, your performance. I'm like, dead behind the eyes. There's nothing going on. And you want to work in entertainment. Like, I need to see something. And really digging deep, and I can give you as much direction as I can give you, but I try to give different ideas so different things resonate for different performers. But it's like the performance value. Like, where's the performance? Where is anything, a smile, something.
What?
And that's hard. And you got to perform in the room, in class, when you're running your dances, perform. Because if you don't do it in the room, you're not going to do it on stage. I tell you that right now.
That was a harmonica moment,
Joe. Yeah. Hot topics. I don't know if we talked about this on another episode or not, but yeah, it's like acting is a skill, guys. You have to practice it. Just like you're practicing your technique, you're practicing all those front aerials. Practice acting, practice performing. It means you can't, like, when it's showtime and it's performance time, you need to just show up and rock and roll. Like, you can't be thinking, I'm going to turn all these switches on. It won't happen. We're 1,000 years old, the three of us. We've been doing this for a while. Like, we've seen, like, we just know, and we've done it ourselves. Like, you have to practice it. Like, I remember being in the studio and envisioning the audience. I remember putting myself in place on stage while I'm in the studio staring at a mirror and just pretending I was performing. More than that, I did it at home. I was in my living room. I was in my basement. I was in my backyard. Like, I pretended, I was practicing that part of the art, because that is part of what makes it art. That's the storytelling side.
You know who does Showtime really well?
Who?
Anyone? Bueller? Anyone?
Who?
The subway performers.
I was just going to say it. I was like, Showtime, Showtime.
They are lit when they're performing because they love it, number one, and they're hoping, you know, to make some money, but they're living their best lives on a moving subway train.
Oh, 100%. 100%. So 100%.
Joe, you did not expect the subway.
Well, this is why I clearly don't live in New York City, though I go a lot and I'm a fan of it.
Joe's on mute. Joe's on mute.
Oh, did I just mute myself by accident? Did you get any of that? Oh, wait. No, but this is how non-New York I am right now. When you said the subway performers, I'm like, there's a commercial about Subway sandwiches? Like, what are you guys talking about? And then I was like, oh, wow. That shows how little I'm not in New York and take the train.
Jared is in jail.
Jared's in jail. He's doing Jailhouse Rock. Okay? That's the most you're getting from Jared. Is he in jail? Wait, is he in jail? That's a topic. I mean, I know he did all that stuff. We don't need to talk about it. Okay. Switch topics.
Switching topics.
New topics.
We have talked about COVID in past episodes, and we're not excited about talking about COVID. But I'd like your point of view, Alicia. Do you think some good and some growth came out of it, or do you think it negatively impacted our dancers only?
No, absolutely not. I think we talk a lot about the negative because it was really hard. Kids dancing in their living rooms, people dancing in their backyards. I think that and going along with performance, I think that if one thing that we lost is because kids were dancing in their living rooms by themselves with Zoom on. And I think we lost the performance value because we weren't in a space. I would say that's the one thing that I do think we lost, but I really think there's a lot of good things that came from such a horrible time. And I mean, and it was 4 years ago yesterday, which is crazy when the world shut down. I think some really great things that happened is, places like, Stats on Broadway or Broadway Dance Center or Perry Dance or, you know, Millennium, like any of these bigger studios were starting to offer, when we could come back, like virtual classes, or people were able to just go into a studio and teach a virtual class. And now that still goes. So now you can live in the middle of nowhere, you know, in the suburbs of wherever you are, and not be able to get to New York or not be able to get to LA, but still be able to take a class from those educators. And I think that is so amazing. I think what a gift, because I had to come to New York if I wanted to take from Sheila Barker. It always comes back to Sheila Barker. I love her so much. But like, honestly, like if I wanted to take anyone in LA, I mean, I know Edge, rest in peace, is no longer there, but you know, you had to go to LA and take class. And now it's like, you can take virtual classes anywhere. I mean, you look at the step schedule and it's like the rundown of virtual classes. And I think that that's so exciting that performers can and dancers can take from anyone in either their home studio, or if they have a bigger space in their house and they want to take there. I think it's really, really great. And I even say that to performers. I'm like, keep taking class. And if you don't have something where you are, all you have to do is literally get on the internet and get on and do a virtual class. So I think that that was one thing that really, helped. It was something really great that came out of it, is now that there's so much opportunity for performers if they can't make the trip to New York or LA or, you know, Vegas or Atlanta. I think the other thing, with COVID too, is I think dancers had to shift, and I not even just dancers, but choreographers had to really shift the way they were performing or creating. And I think it helped everyone grow, because, you know, I can't teach choreography with big old jumps or a battement or something when someone's in their living room going to kick a kitchen table. You know what I mean? So I think that performers, we had to get, and choreographers especially, had to get really smart and really go out of the box. And I think that that happened with a lot of performers and a lot of kids. And I think they also used that and could use that time for themselves to reflect and maybe create something for themselves that they never thought that they could do or have time to do. So I do think that there's some benefits that came out of like such a horrible time that we all went through, but I do think that there's some really really great things that did come out of it. And like getting to dance, I mean, I remember I was teaching like a Friday class on Zoom. It was free. I was like, because I just wanted kids to keep performing and like not stop. And I taught it in my studio apartment that's the size of my pinky finger. And I did it at a time. I had kids from Hawaii taking my class. I had kids from London taking class, and I had kids from all over. And it was so cool. And I'd make everyone get up to their computer and I'd be like, okay, raise your hand if you live in the United States. And people would raise their hand. I'd be like, raise your hand if you live on the West Coast, or you live in Hawaii, or you live in, and it was so cool. Even like my company, we did a UK experience, virtual experience, and we did an Australia virtual experience. Like, that was so cool to be able to do those things and have the opportunity to do them. So I think that even though COVID was awful, I think there was some cool things that came about it. And I'm glad that some of those things have stuck, like being able to take virtual classes and be able to do those things. I'm really glad that that's continued. And I will say the other good thing I love about what happened with COVID is dance competitions are live streamed. So you can watch your kids from afar.
Do you think this is when, as we're talking about this, it just dawned on me, TikTok exploded because we were dancing in smaller space, and TikTok is like, we're looking at each other in these boxes right now. That's all it is. Do you think this is the rise of it?
I mean, possibly. I don't understand TikTok as much. I just get on it.
What is TikTok? I'm just kidding. No, I agree. I know what you mean, though. That's an interesting thought.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were saying we were stuck in front of it. So we had to learn how to do it. Like Costin Mayer, they blew up during that time and they were just dancing in their house, right? In that small space. I'm like, huh, that's interesting, because the Tiki Tiki is like the number one space for the young adults now.
I kind of think, but also we were probably on our phones even more, or just, we were just doing more virtual stuff, period. You know? Yeah. I mean, I think some things that came from it, one was, I think we don't do this enough, and it was a chance to slow down and reflect and think and plan and, realize we can't take this dance thing for granted all the time. And the access we have to studios and stuff, I think, it was nice to be like, wow, do we really appreciate being able to be inside of a studio? I think it helped increase technology in dance, like you mentioned, Alicia. Like now dance studios have like TVs and laptops and projector screens and all the things. And I use them all the time when I go teach. I'm like, oh, you have a TV? Cool. I'll like film my one class, plug it in. And like, just like a football team would do watching their film. It's just like we do with video critiques, like with competitions, like, hey, let's just watch the run right now. Plug it in the TV. What did you guys see? You guys take notes on yourself dancing in class right now. I'm going to film you doing bar right now. Show me what you did right. Talk about what we can improve on. I think, like you said, gosh, exposure to more classes. I took like Al Blackstone's Fun Get Up and Dance every day, like not every day, but as much as I could and remember to. Like, it just made me bring that joy into dance, being connected to all the world, like you said, I think was so really wonderful. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, this podcast, hello. You know, yeah. So I just think there was a lot of behind it, but I'm glad we're having this discussion of like, you know what, there's some growth with it, which is another way of like, there's moments in dance class, but there's growth with it as well. It's a new sound effect. Alicia, I don't have a harmonica.
It's almost time to wrap up. So I'd love to talk about what you're doing right now.
Well, I teach a lot of the auditions for Norwegian Cruise Line Creative Studios by Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings. That is the whole official title. I go around, I teach just mainly, it's usually the Midwest and the East Coast that I teach. So you can find me normally on that little circuit, which is really fun. And I love getting to do it. I love getting to see kids from all over. I just really love the gig. I love the job. I'm judging some dance competitions. It's competition season. I'm doing that. I've been creating the past couple years for Cedar Fair, specifically like Carowinds and Charlotte, which has been really fun. Again, I like love working with like young upcoming professionals. So it's really nice because I like to teach. I like to educate. What else is happening? I just taught my first class at Broadway Dance Center not that long ago. So that was exciting. So I just, you know, thanks. Subbing, you know, when they need people. I'm teaching at Steps on Broadway coming up in April, which I'm excited about. I'm teaching a class there. Actually, I'm teaching a progressions class, which talk about technique. I'm so excited. My very, very dear friend asked me, was like, will you sub my class? I was like, oh my gosh, 100%. I'm teaching in Pittsburgh, which is exciting, in April, on April 15th at Firewall Dance Theater. That's so if anyone lives in Pittsburgh and they want to come hang, take some jazz class with me. Really just, and then Bold, my company, just working on that also, and working on writing shows. And yeah, I got my hands in like a lot of different little jars and pots, but I think that's how I like it to be. So
yeah, I love that. So many great things. I hope we bump into you at a studio or at the club, because I can find you at the club.
wait, hold on. Before we wrap, and I know we gotta wrap up. That might be an interesting thing too, because we had like dance party clubs when we were teens, and like we went and were like having a blast dancing, which might go towards that whole, you know, confidence. I feel like shift, improv, freestyle that we all felt, you know, pretty confident in those teenage years. Random thought, but back to the club.
What was your club called?
I don't know. Well, I mean, there was like adult, like not adult, but like, you know, over 18 or 21 clubs. Gosh, we had a ton.
The Matrix
was probably the biggest one.
Come on.
I would say. Yeah.
Called The Industry.
Industry is a good name. Yeah.
But when I would visit my bestie, Crystal Frazier, in Philly, when she was going to school there, she would take me to Shampoo.
Shampoo. Yes. I remember you mentioning that. Shampoo. Did they have bubble party? Oh yeah, Matrix had different rooms, I think, right? Or Wim, remember Wim?
Yeah, yeah.
Nightclub too. Yeah.
Different music in each room. You could find your vibe.
I feel like
we need to do that.
Well, I feel like before Alicia and I knew each other, I bet you we were dancing at the same like nightclub. I bet you we were.
Oh,
like,
we were probably dancing next to each other.
Totally. But yeah, listen, dancer. If you haven't yet, get into one of Alicia's classes. Show up to one of her auditions. Do all the things. She'll come teach wherever when she's available. She's an all-star. We're lucky to call her a friend of not just the podcast.
Alicia, where can they reach out to you?
Yes.
My website, it's just aliciapochask.com. It's very easy. I'm also on Instagram. Yeah, I'm also on Instagram. It's just aliciarose33 is my handle. And everything's on there. I'm connected all through. And I post all the time. So about what I'm doing, where I'm at, where I'm going next. So, yeah.
Jam fam, where can you find us? You can find us on the Facebook, Jam and Michelle's Dance Podcast. You can find us on the Instagram, Jam_dance_podcast. You can email us, jamdancepodcast@gmail.com. We love you. Thank you for listening. Alicia, thank you so much for being with us again today. We'd love
Thanks
to have you.
Thanks for having me. I loved it. Thanks.
Joe, I miss our harmonica.
Ooh, I know. I think I need to just record it and have it available.
Yeah. I was hoping Skylar would come in and play.
Skylar, do you have it? Come quickly, quickly. We're running out of time. All the listeners are waiting for us. All right. I'm going to put the headphones on you. TT's going to say Hot Topics, and then that's your cue to blow the harmonica. Okay? You can take us out.
Hot Topic.
Perfect. Now play us a song.
Thank you, right. Fam.
Joe and Michelle's Dance Podcast is powered by Thrive Dance Experience. Executive produced by Joe Nickel and Michelle Tolson. Artwork by Aaron May. Theme song produced and recorded by Joe Trombino. Audio editing by Deanna Bolando. Thanks for tuning in, Jam Fam. See you next time for a new episode of Joe and Michelle's Dance Podcast.